Well, please turn with me once again to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Last week, we were looking at the opening 8 verses of this marvelous chapter. This morning, we're considering verses 9 to 11. Just 3 verses as we come to the Lord's table together. And just to remind, the theme of this chapter we saw last week is one of comfort. Comfort. We saw that the people Isaiah is initially writing to here, they were people in need of comfort. He prophesies just in the previous chapter, chapter 39, verse 6, how they're going to be taken captive by the Babylonians. And here he is, it's as if he's looking about 100 years into the future here. And he's writing chapter 40 now for these people who are held captive in exile, captive in Babylon, especially in need of comfort. And he writes Isaiah 40 for them. The opening words of the chapter, just a recap on some of last week very briefly. The opening words we saw spoke of a covenant relationship, comfort from a covenant relationship. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. And there's covenant language there. My people, God says. Still as people, even when they're in exile. And then verses 3 to 5 spoke to us of comfort from a coming king. Now, those words are quoted later in the Bible at the beginning of Mark's Gospel. By John the Baptist, prepare the way of the Lord, speaking of the coming King Jesus. And then we saw verses 6 to 8, comfort from a changeless message. Even though nations, leaders might change, peoples come and go, the word of God stands forever. And that was verses 1 to 8 last week. This morning, we're coming to verses 9 to 11. Here God is calling his people to a particular task. He wants them to call out to the nations around about them. He wants them to get up to a high mountain, to shout from their rooftops, as it were, a particular message. What's the message? Well, it comes at the end of verse 9. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. That's their message. Behold your God. In other words, stop what you're doing. Look at your God. Gaze upon him. Fix your eyes intently upon him. Let his wonder, let his beauty come pouring into your life with transforming influence. Behold your God. And friends, that's what we want to do this morning. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, this is the great need of your life. That you would stop, that you would stop looking at yourself, and that you would behold this God. That you would look at him, consider all of his wonder, all of his grace, all of his love for sinners like ourselves. For those of us who do know and love this Savior, is this not the constant need of our lives? That we might behold him every single day. Surely many of our troubles arise because we've taken our eyes off the Lord and we're not beholding him. And isn't it fitting as we come to the Lord's table later in our service that before we do so, we want to, as it were, drink in this view of the Lord. The Lord Jesus, we want to behold our God as we find him here in this word. So let me highlight, just from these three verses, two truths, two wonderful truths about our Savior, which if we were truly to behold, they would administer comfort to our hurting souls. So firstly, behold a mighty Lord. Verse 10. Behold a mighty Lord. A mighty Lord. Verse 10 reads, behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Behold, the Lord God comes with might. Now notice those names given there, Lord God, or Sovereign Lord. Now, the Bible, you might know, uses several different names for God. And when we see the name for God written in capital letters, it's the translator's way usually of showing us that it's the divine covenant almighty name being used, Yahweh. And literally what Isaiah writes here is, behold the Lord Yahweh. You could translate it, behold the Lord Lord. That would be hard to get our heads around, so the translators have gone for, behold the Sovereign Lord, or the Lord God. In other words, this is a very impressive title given here. The Lord Yahweh, the Lord Jehovah, the covenant God of his people. So it's not some second-rate servant. This is the Lord God himself. This is the one who's coming. Behold, the Lord God comes. Now, remember, this is the same one who's coming as described in verses 3 to 5 of this chapter. The deliverer. It's a description of the coming Lord Jesus here. We're to behold the wonder of this. The Lord God comes with might. This is what we're beholding. Isaiah goes on. His arm rules for him. The Bible uses descriptions of God like this for us. Now, God, of course, doesn't have an arm like we have. But in his love, God is condescending himself. He's speaking to us in language that we can picture, we can understand. And all throughout the Bible, he uses human-like descriptions of himself so that we can understand him better. So that we can picture, we can understand, grasp these things. And here, Isaiah is particularly interested in the Lord's arm. 15 times or thereabouts, he speaks of God's arm in this prophecy of Isaiah. And here is one such instance. The Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. And of course, it's a symbol of strength, isn't it? There are some young men, they love to show off their arms. They train, they condition themselves so they can flex their muscles. Just picture the young teenager standing in front of the mirror, flexing his muscles. We're amazed at world's strongest man, some of the things they're able to do. Not humanly possible, we think. But compared to Christ's arm, they're pathetic. They're pathetic. Here's a picture of Christ's strength, his might, his power, his arm rules for him. Here's the one we're beholding this morning. The strength of our Savior. And his arm has accomplished everything it set out to do. That's why it says at the end of this verse, behold, his reward is with him, his recompense before him. It's not speaking of any reward for us here at all. I think we automatically think reward, that has to be us. It's not our reward at all. This is reward for the Lord Jesus. He was sent into this world on a mission. He came to conquer death. He did it. He came to deal Satan a death blow. He did it. He came to achieve all his Father set him out to do. He did it. And his reward is with him. We're to picture him in our mind's eye, this great warrior king. And he has a vast number with him. A people that no man can number. Out of all the nations, this is his reward. He's redeemed them. He says, these are my people. These are the ones the Father has given to me. His arm rules for him. Jesus, full of power, behold your God. Friends, let's not ever think of him as weak or helpless, as if Jesus is sitting, standing on the sidelines, waiting for man to do something, waiting to be allowed to step in and intervene. Behold your God. Behold this Jesus. He's the mighty conquering king. He's the strong one. He's dealt with sin. He's dealt with Satan. He's dealt with death. His arm is full of might. That means, Christian, in your life, every single day, he's bearing his right arm for you. Every day, his strength is prevailing for you. His arm is filled with strength for all your burdens. So whatever it is in your life that you're fretting about, that you're fearful about, his right arm is filled with strength for that. It's not too short, as the scriptures would say. It's filled with all the strength we need. Isn't that a comforting, comforting truth? We look out at the world today. We look at the persecution of the church at home and abroad, and we can feel overwhelmed by that. We can get downcast when we think of our media and how much of an anti-Christian bias there is today. Christian beliefs, biblical beliefs, our beliefs portrayed as archaic, ludicrous. How could anyone hold this today? What do we do? Where do we look? Isaiah would say, don't look at the world. Don't look at the media. Behold your God. See how his arm rules for him. He's in control. See how his arm is filled with power for everything we need. He's the all-powerful, conquering, sovereign Lord. And as we come to the Lord's table later, we're remembering this. We're rejoicing in this. We're feasting on this. He's done it. He's done it. His arm rules for him. He's delivered me from Satan and sin and death. He's taken my punishment so I never need to pay it. He's the mighty Lord. One day every knee will bow and see it. But today we behold him. His arm rules. But not only does our text set forth the strength of the Lord, but we also see just in the very next verse his tenderness, his gentleness. So having looked at that first point, behold a mighty Lord, the sovereign Lord. Let's think secondly, behold a gentle shepherd. Verse 11, behold a gentle shepherd. Verse 11 reads, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with the young. That's very interesting, isn't it? The way Isaiah brings these two pictures, just side by side, juxtaposed together. This mighty Lord and this gentle shepherd brought together. We don't usually associate might with gentleness, but here we have it. These two pictures put together for us to behold. What a wonderful deliverer we have. He's both the mighty one, and he's also the gentle one. Look at what verse 11 describes. He will come like a shepherd. He will tend his flock. That means everything that he will do in looking after us. Feeding us, nurturing us, leading us, guiding us. Here's a shepherd who loves his flock, watching them, knowing them, taking note of them, tending to them. We're to think of the Lord Jesus, aren't we? Described on so many occasions, the shepherd of his people, the good shepherd. Look at how Isaiah describes him, gathering the lambs in his arms, carrying them in his bosom, effectively carrying them close to his heart here. Who are these lambs in the flock? We could use it to speak of our children, couldn't we? Certainly, he has a very tender heart towards our children. His eyes are upon our children, yes, but I think particularly here, when we think of just the very next few words, we're given more light. He gently leads those that have young. Now, who are these people in the flock? Well, just think of it in sheep terms. The lambs, those with young, aren't they the vulnerable ones in the flock? Aren't they the needy ones in the flock? Aren't they the weaker ones in the flock that the shepherd will be particularly watching out for? The ones vulnerable to attacks, vulnerable to wild animals and illnesses. So as we see these lambs, those with young, here's a picture of weak, vulnerable sheep. These are the ones the shepherd carries closest to his heart. These are the ones he's gently leading. Isn't it a wonderful picture to us of his tenderness, his compassion, his gentleness? Here's Isaiah, he's writing to these people captive in Babylon who know all too well their vulnerability. And he gives them this tremendous picture. He says, you're a shepherd. He carries you close to his heart. Someone has said, his shoulders may suffice for lost sheep, but his heart is reserved for the weak sheep. Isn't that lovely? His heart's reserved for the weak sheep. Do you see the intimacy of this here? How he gathers them, how he cares for them. This care and protection and security. That's what Isaiah's readers needed, wasn't it? It was what these exiles desperately needed. God to say, I have an eye especially for the weak ones among you. I'm carrying you. I'm carrying you close to my heart. Those everlasting arms that gather the whole of the universe together. We're now told that they gently wrap themselves around the flock. This is the God we behold this morning. One who is so mighty and yet so, so gentle. Have you come today a weak, vulnerable sheep of the flock? Are you like one of these lambs described here? It's Father's Day today, but I think there's a particular word for mothers here. These, how he gently leads those with young. A particular word, perhaps, to mothers. Are you a mother here this morning, weary and worn out with the constant pressures of motherhood? Do you feel undervalued, perhaps? Unappreciated, perhaps? Do you feel frazzled just with the constancy of your calling? Where should you look for strength? Behold your God. Behold your Savior. You're to see here a gentle shepherd, how he carries even the mothers close to his heart. You're to see this picture, how he carries the weakest, the most vulnerable, closest of all. This is the message being sent to men and women who have rebelled against this God. Let's not forget that they had rebelled against him. God saying, no, you're my people, you're my flock. I'm coming hard after you. I'm gathering you close to myself. Hasn't that also been your experience? Maybe since you last sat at the Lord's table. And over you find him coming to you. And his word preached perhaps, in the word you've read at home, In the council of God's people, God has been coming to you, gathering you, lifting you up, gently leading, as Isaiah says near the end of the verse. He gently leads those that are with young. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Gently leading. He doesn't come with a stick. He gently leads those who are overcome by their weakness, who feel very much their vulnerability. Behold this God, this mighty Lord, and yet this gentle shepherd. Where else in all the scriptures do we find power and tenderness so married together? Where else do we find the power of God and yet the tenderness of God, as the psalmist says, kissing together? Where else? Well, it's at the cross, isn't it? It's at the cross. Jesus Christ, so strong and mighty, so powerful, and yet on the cross, in his love and compassion, he was willing to be weak. He could have called for his Father to send a legion of angels. Jesus himself could have blasted the soldiers away with his breath. But God's strength is made perfect in weakness. And Isaiah himself would later prophesy in chapter 53, verse 7, of Jesus Christ. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, he opened not his mouth, like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. What a turn of events. The mighty, mighty shepherd. And he's becoming the weak, silent lamb, willing to lay down his life, willing to take the punishment we deserve. So see here your mighty Lord. Behold your God. His arm rules for him. His arm is not too short to save. An arm that is at one and the same time ruling for him and yet also gathering the little lambs close to his heart. Comfort, comfort my people. Behold your God. Let's join in worship as we turn to Psalm 89.